Well, first of all, I will tell you that we're hiring at the Department of the Interior. We stay connected to our employees. And through the pandemic, there were some great things that helped us be really engaged with our employees. About 50% of our employees are field working employees, and 50% are office-based employees. So the pandemic really allowed us to start being more engaged with our employees because we accelerated our enhancement of technology. It leveled the playing field so we could be really engaged with our field workers, field employees, and our office-based employees. So now we can have our field-based employees come to meetings with our office work employees. So that was really enhanced our engagement with all employees at the same level, if that makes sense.
Sure, yes, because interior, that's the irony. A lot of people are outside. They're not inside working. Park Service, and who else besides Park Service?
So there's Park Service, there's Bureau of Indian Education, we have Fish and Wildlife, we have US Geological Survey. So we have, we're the Department of everything else. So there's something for everybody at Department of the Interior. And so there is, we have wildlife refugees, we have biological scientists, we have firefighters. So one thing that we're looking at is our FEVS employee engagement, and it has increased 5 points over the past 3 years. So even during this time of maximum telework and the fluctuation of telework, remote work, we have improved our employee engagement, and we're constantly keeping an eye on exit interview surveys of the FEVS. So we're looking at what we need to do to in staying engaged with our employees. Why are they leaving? And one of the key points is when people do leave, it's generally because their appointment ended, because they're a seasonal, or they took a promotion. So we're very happy to see that they're leaving on a positive note to further their career somewhere else. And hopefully, if it is for another bureau within the Department of the Interior.
Let's back up a little bit here for a second.
Yeah.
You mentioned you're in the hiring mode. What types of people are you hiring? And what about the hiring process itself? Because that's kind of where engagement and connectedness begins. And the federal government doesn't have a fantastic record of doing this efficiently in such a way that people say, wow, that was great. I'm glad to be here.
So while DOI has one united broad mission, such as safeguarding and managing our nation's natural resources, responsible stewardship, including fostering the widest use of our lands, protecting our fish and wildlife, and preserving the environmental culture values of our natural parks, we're hiring park rangers, firefighters, dam operators, people at the fish hatcheries, law enforcement professionals, and of course, office workers. So you can find more about all of these and the career paths at careers.doi.gov. So yes, and we have a lot, about 40 hiring flexibilities or hiring authorities. So those range from internships, like Public Land Corps and Resource Assistance, of course, the PMF, President's Management Fellowships. And then we have other types of direct hire authority for our firefighters and other ones for realty specialists. So we have a lot of different hiring authorities that are specific just to DOI. And we also are doing a lot of recruitment events to explain the hiring process and be transparent so people understand USA Jobs. Because for people that are not in the government, it is a little challenging to go through the hiring process. So we are trying to have hiring events, and we partnered with EPA just 2 weeks ago
Sure.
to have HR specialist with hiring managers so we can talk about the mystery of the hiring process, but also have hiring managers or specialists such as park rangers, biologists, chemistry professionals to talk about their career at DOI. And so people can ask questions and get an idea, what is it like to work at Department of the Interior, or in this case, the Environmental Protection Agency, to get an idea of a day in the life of what you do at Department of the Interior. And also how to do job alerts to get alerts from USA Jobs.
And are you able to speed up the process with these, using some of these 40 authorities and so on, relative to what it generally takes in the government?
Yes. And in some cases you can. In some cases it still takes, for law enforcement, for example, you still go through a background check. So in some cases they are trying to speed up the process, but in some cases there still is a little bit of time just because you have to go through a background investigation.
Got it. And then there is the process of onboarding, something separate from finding and hiring, and that's getting people in. And we have pandemic, and again, 50% of your people are not even in an office. So describe the onboarding process and how you use that to increase that sense of connectedness.
So some great things from the pandemic came about is, one, we can do the pandemic virtually. However, we are wanting to, if people can come in, we want them to come in, because you lose that sense of connectiveness when you just mail somebody a laptop and do everything virtually. So if people can't come in, or if we do hire them remote, we hire people remote because there is talent in remote locations. But we want to make sure that people are connected. And so we're taking steps to say, okay, if people can come in for a group onboarding, let's bring them in a safe environment. You know, I know that CDC constantly changes the protocols for what's safe and what's is it 6 feet away? You know, it constantly changes, but we want to make sure that people are engaged, whether it's a onboarding and people come in together, and so they are engaging with their supervisors, or in another case that supervisors are constantly doing a touch base on a 10-day, 20-day, 30-day, 45-day with those employees and making sure that they're staying connected with those employees coming on board. But we can do onboarding virtually. And that was something we started during the pandemic for our remote workforce under maximum telework. We have fully returned to work. So people are on telework, remote work, or in place. So people are on their agreements wherever they need to be. And so we are able to execute onboarding fully throughout the Department of the Interior.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is the status of return to the office for people in the office? What's the policy now, and what's generally in place? Are people mostly coming in or coming in part of the week? And give us that description.
So we have about 30% are teleworking on a routine basis. We have some people that are remote on a routine basis. We revamped our telework policy about 2 years ago during the return to the office. And then we did a non-SESS LST, which a general workforce employee requested remote work policy. And then we have a pilot for SESS LST, but generally most SESS LST aren't eligible because they're superintendents of parks, they're at fish hatcheries, they're at dams. So they generally need to be in the workplace. But for some reasons, such as a spouse may move to another for their job, we may have an SES that could be eligible for a remote location, but not many. And so we did a pilot just so we could lean forward and be an employer of choice. But we're testing that out to see if that works for our workforce for SESS LST. But we do want to be an employer of choice. We want to lean forward where it makes sense for remote and telework for our workforce.
Right. And do you have any way of measuring or getting the sense of, once people are onboarded, that it worked out well, and that they have a good feeling about the choice they made to join Interior in whatever capacity or whatever location?
Yes. So we're proud of our culture. Within a few months of being on the job, 84% felt like they were part of the organization already. 90% reported that their coworkers were welcoming them to DOI. Additionally, 86% of employees feel that their supervisors valued and supported their work-life balance. So that's what we're getting from the feedback from employees. They really like coming to DOI because of the mission, and then they stay because of the employees and the coworkers and the supervisor support that they have.
And does that go across those that are indoor working and outdoor working, where
in some cases
they're not that connected physically day by day? They might be in a remote place or might only encounter a few people from their shift, say, if they're out in the field.
Yes, from both of those, yes.
All right. And by the way, does the human capital function that you're in, do you ever get out there into those various locations just to kind of see how things feel for employees?
At times, not as much as I'd like to, but I'd like to get out more. Before the pandemic, we were getting out more, but it generally does make us feel like we're more connected when we get out there.
Sure. And of course, the pandemic at its height really affected even the exterior people, say the Park Service employees. Has that kind of gotten back to normal with visitations
Yes.
and so on?
One thing that we did under the leadership of the political leadership is we did a future of work plan. And we said, what's the future of work for the office workers? And then what's the future of work for the field-based employees? And the field-based employees, their mission is going to be the same. It's serve our visitors, stay in the lands. And now some things that they have is more accelerated technology. So every now and then they can telework if they have to do some training or they have a meeting. They have more technology for our visitors and our customers, but they'll still serve the visitors and the customers. They'll still be working as park rangers and interpretive park rangers. As most people understand park rangers, that's probably the most familiar people are. So the future of work isn't that different for most people in Bureau of Land Management and the Bureau of Reclamation and National Park Service. But for office-based workers, we're looking at, do we need to change our space? You know, do we need to downsize our space? Do we need more hybrid technology, more video technology? Do we need to look at telework and what's our telework and space posture? So that's what we are focusing on right now, is a future of work policy. And it's really not a policy, it's a plan. And how do we look at metrics? So that's one thing that I'm working on with our bureaus and our CIO and our space professionals. And that was really eye-opening to realize that the bureaus, it's mostly business as usual.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess that's a good thing to hear. And
yes,
let's talk about the technology you mentioned earlier to give employees a good experience when they are at work, whether indoors or outdoors. Talk about some of the technological means to help enable that support the feeling of connectedness that they get from other employees.
Yes. So I think the pandemic, while it was challenging in the beginning, we had migrated to Microsoft Teams right when the pandemic started. So we were done with the migration. That allowed a level playing field for everybody. So now we have better capabilities to work outside the office through better IT infrastructure. So we have virtual and hybrid training, onboarding, like we mentioned, and a mobile workers comp app. So now everybody can do a workers comp app on your mobile phone. And so that actually helps with our firefighters who don't have a regular laptop. Same with some of our other seasonal workers. They can apply for workers' comp. We have better technology for visitors and customers, and they have more applications with case management. So we've been able to accelerate, and now we have remote access for many of our remote individuals in the field that didn't have access. So now they can join a meeting that before they would have to fly into. And so now people are more integrated than they were before. So that really makes them feel part of the team through VPN, Teams, Zoom, Microsoft Teams for training. We have DOI Trusted Internet Connection. It's been expanded in many sites. So it's better conferencing for hybrid meetings. So digital signatures, I think that's pretty standard. Encryption, remote call center, ability to reset certificates so people don't have to go really far. Like in Montana, it might be 4 hours. Reduced call time for remote and in-place staff and teleworkers. So that's it might be small for some people, but for us, when we have so many remote people, because we're in 2,600 locations, that's a big deal for somebody that might miss a day or two of work to go somewhere to another site to get their laptop reset or something of that nature.
Right. So therefore, people in the field then can, as you say, attend a meeting from anywhere. In fact, with where they work, they don't have to have a phony backdrop projected. Just where they are would make a great backdrop for the meeting. I guess in some odd sense, that might make them more connected in both directions because the people in the field see, well, the policy people are working hard even though they're behind a desk. And the policy people can say or see the fact that the people in the field are really in the field and it's all more real when they're on the same meeting together virtually.
Yeah, it's a dual appreciation, I think, for both sides.
And for those who have been office people that are now working remotely, there's a greater number of those who are those that are teleworking more frequently. What do you provide them to make sure that their experience not in the office is as good as their experience technologically, speed-wise, and all of this when they're in the office?
Yeah, so they that was one thing, is really being able to have, there were some issues in the building in the beginning, and so it's enhanced capability so they're not being dropped in the building. So they increased technology in our main interior building or the UDAW building, which is down in the DC. So they've improved that technology, moving to the cloud more. So that's one thing, is when there's two options, why are you using a server versus a cloud? So that's one thing, improved security. So that, and we just hired a new CIO. So that CIO is really invested in cloud technology. Also dropped issues with that is, and then also like our human capital officers in the bureaus are getting out more to the field. I know our national parks human capital officer at least goes once a month to each of the sites in the park center to see how their experience is. So that's very important to the national parks, is being part of that, the field in that respect. And lastly, we have a DEIA council, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. And we bring in different people from the field and how they're implementing DEIA in the field. And so it's that experience with, so we want to bring in individuals, but we also want to make sure that they're diverse and accessibility. And we think of accessibility, it's not only about the accessibility of making sure that they can use equipment, but thinking of accessibility of, can you apply for jobs in the field? Do you have accessible equipment in the field? That type of thing, because we are a remote workforce. Do you have all the things you need in the field? So we're making sure that we include those remote locations in those council meetings.
So really there's a circular kind of relationship, a connected relationship between the policy for how you deal with people, what it is you're trying to achieve in terms of employee connectedness, employee experience, and the technology that ties that all together.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. And just briefly, how did you come to this position? You're the acting deputy chief.
Chico. Yes. Yeah. So my boss left and I'm acting, but our new Chico comes next week and he will be coming from USDA. So I'm the full-time job. I'm the deputy Chico.
Got it. All right. And this is, so your career in human capital.
Yes, I'm a career human capital person. Yes.
And so you've seen, would you say, progress positively for the federal government in terms of how it handles human capital technologically and in terms of expectations for that experience?
Yes, I definitely feel that way. I also think that the more we can work together with our colleagues in the CIO, in contracting, in EEO and in diversity, the more you can work with your colleagues, the better. And the more you can work with your customers, the better.